I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Welcome back to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
And I'm Amanda, and we're here with our wonderful guest, Chance McCrary.
And I'm Chance McCrary.
And today we are talking about dating. We just dating and everything that comes with it. Our dating histories, what we're like on dates, anything. There's no rules.
And how different we are from each other since we all grew up in different places. And we're just all different.
And different,
yes?
Signs.
And we're different astrological signs. Yeah. Does astrological signs connect to
yes.
you date?
What? Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
You don't think it does?
I don't know. Maybe it does.
Do all Virgos suck at dating? Because if that's the case, okay.
What's going on?
For sure. Okay, let's figure out how to kick this thing off.
Let's get into it.
When did you first start dating? And it can be stupid dating. It can be like it wasn't technically real, but it
felt
you
real.
You thought it was real. You
okay.
thought you were entering the okay. dating sphere. Because I know.
You have a story?
I do.
What is it?
Let's
I feel like
off.
People are going to be mortified. But it's not bad.
Only tell what you want to tell, and all names are going to be changed.
Correct.
Or just redacted.
I would say the first dating thing that I had, and this okay. feels like really young,
yeah,
but this was when I was like really into someone, second grade.
Wow.
I get what you're
it's not like we went on
no.
dates.
I know what you're saying.
We were really close friends. He played the tuba.
Okay.
Amanda.
And he was following me around going
he played the tuba. He lived down the street.
Wait, the tuba was bigger than him. He's in second grade.
Unless, are there smaller tubas?
It was very big.
It was a child's tuba.
It was very big.
Child's tuba.
It was very big, and he carried it everywhere. He didn't have a thing
That's
for
so
it.
That's so cute.
So he carried it everywhere. He was so white and so nerdy.
And so jacked
and
from
I,
carrying that tuba.
He wasn't jacked at all.
His arms were fucking
Dude, I liked him. I had a crush on him, and we were friends. So one time I would hang out at his house.
Oh, see, this is me. I'm like, whenever people talk about this stuff, I'm always like, what's his name? Name him. I won't make you do that. But there's something about it. There's some power in a name that
I'm
like, name him.
Well, I'm not going to name him. I'm going to just call him Tuba Boy.
I like that.
And Tuba Boy and I would hang out. And one time we were hanging out. And we were just sitting there. And we never kissed or, of course, anything. We're in second grade. Well, not of course. I mean, I think I kissed and said, great. Anyways, so we were just hanging out, and he was playing the tuba for me.
Okay,
okay.
And
hot.
He took off his shirt.
Oh.
And his mom.
Did you like what you saw?
I was like.
I mean, it's a second grader.
Okay. Nothing
Man,
happened.
Playing this tuba's really got me sweaty.
Ew,
Better take this shirt off.
Took off his shirt. I'll never forget this because it was the first time I was really made to feel bad about liking someone. He took off his shirt, and I thought, I was just like, we like each other.
That's
tuba.
Crazy.
He took off his
the
shirt.
The first time you've been made to feel bad about liking
someone,
which infers that it's happened so many times.
Oh, so many times.
What? Who's making you feel bad about liking
someone? I'm just like a girl, and people are like, you shouldn't do that. Not my family. My mom was very cool about it. But like people in school, teachers. You know what I'm saying?
But you're really just... In second grade,
but
when you're dating
grade,
someone,
I was young.
You're just hanging out with someone.
We weren't dating. We were just
yeah.
like friends.
You're literally friends.
But he did take off his shirt while playing the tuba.
So that was the first one you were like, we're dating.
No, I was like, I didn't even know what it was. I wouldn't even say the word dating was in my head.
Ain't that the fucking truth?
I was like, I like you, and you play the tuba. And he took off his shirt, and I remember being like, this is awesome.
I like you, and you play the tuba.
He's like, awesome.
He took off his shirt and continued to play the tuba.
Yeah.
And his mom walked in, and she was like, you need to go home. Oh. And she had my mom pick me up immediately.
Oh, yeah. My God. She knew the what the fuck
and
was going
we
on.
Didn't hang out after that.
Oh,
that
no.
That was the end and you of never, Tuba Boy.
Did you ever have talk you... to him?
Yeah, we talked, but he was really, like, stayed away from me.
Did he go to the same high school as you?
Yeah. Well, middle school.
Did
yeah.
he have a... Oh, middle school.
Or whatever
went
it was.
To different high schools.
You
would remember if he was there.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
And that kid? Kenny G.
Honestly, oh, God. Kenny G. No.
Kenny G. As a kid.
That was really the first one. And I think that was a big lesson for me where I got in so much trouble when I'm like, I didn't take off my shirt. He took off his
nothing.
Shirt. And we didn't even do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what were you wearing?
I was wearing a big dress. I was wearing a dress.
That was a layered joke. That was very
was
layered.
Very
you have to be very nuanced.
No, I know. Joke. But let me tell you honestly, I was very into
crazy. Crazy.
Okay.
I was into big dresses.
Our AD
I
just
wore
spit
a...
out her coffee.
Wait. She said, holy shit.
I wore a mini skirt. No, I actually was very into like old, like colonial dresses.
I feel like every second grade, back when I was in school, every second grade girl dressed like it was the 1800s. I feel like.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Like four cardigans.
Yeah. It's like.
No.
And especially back in the 2000s, dude, yeah. The amount of layers yeah. everyone was wearing.
I looked like an American Girl doll. I had like the colonial and I had
no.
a huge.
Oh, no.
I had big puffy dresses in second grade.
Okay, no wonder the tuba guy liked you.
Yeah, I was
you got
like,
layers on layers.
I was literally like, good sir.
He's like, she's like a human tuba.
Oh, dear, Mr. Darcy has his tuba out.
Oh, no.
And the mom was like, get out. We're picking up your mom immediately. And I was like, okay, I grab like my handkerchief. I'm like, dee, 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 dee.
So Shane, who was your first dating?
Okay, so not second grade, but I do remember kids dating in like second to fifth
yeah.
grade. But it was really just that they hung out. You
maybe,
know,
did they hold hands?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was stuff like that. It was just that their boyfriend, girlfriend, and it was just something that we'd say.
Yeah.
But there was really nothing else.
There
that
was nothing they could do because they were in
it.
Second grade.
And there was and really I didn't have any crushes or anything, but there was a girl who like everybody was just like, yeah, she's the one, and yeah. we didn't even know what we were saying.
The Regina George.
It was just kind of like, she's the one we're supposed to think it is.
Yeah,
she's the one we're supposed to like.
What does yep. she look like?
Looking back, normal.
1800s dress.
Look, she looked like every other. So, there was really nothing.
You have to describe it.
I really don't know.
Well, because every other for. Me is probably different every other than a lot of
I just mean if, like, looking back in my memory, there was no
blonde
reason.
Blonde brunette.
I was about to say blonde or brunette. Was she white?
She was white. She was like a dark blonde,
okay.
I think. But it was really, I am genuinely confused as to why. I think it was just determined, and it might have been because she had a boyfriend.
What color were her eyes? You can't even remember.
I think blue. I really don't remember.
She had horns three feet high.
I wasn't too infatuated or cared that
she
much,
was just someone was, said they had a crush on
it was
on
just
her.
Like the thing that was kind of determined.
She was the one.
But overall at our school it really wasn't.
We had
dating wasn't like
two
a thing.
In elementary school we had like the girl that was like hot and she won most attractive senior year
of high school.
Of
okay,
high
so she
school.
Was hot.
Whoa, so
she yes, she was hot.
The prophecies
were
true.
There were other hot people that could have won 100%, but it was like she was it was always like she's
understood.
The one no matter how she's aging. Understood. She is the one.
But I didn't care too much.
Rachel.
And then I would say the first time that I had a crush was in sixth grade. There was a new girl at our school.
Ooh.
And I remember for whatever reason I was just like, oh my God. I didn't talk to her.
New girls. What is that?
But it was just, well, I think
History.
It was just, I hadn't
History.
Seen a new person since I started at this school. So it had been 5 or so years that I had just been hanging out with the same people. And so, yeah. And then suddenly there's a new person and I'm just like,
a new challenger.
But it was still, I was still very young. So it was really like infatuation and it was just like, whoa.
But wait, you didn't talk to her.
I mean, not really. Like, I think there's probably some conversations, but we didn't like hang out or talk. I just was like, she was in the same class as me of like 30 kids. But
so who was the first one that you were like, I'm talking to this girl?
Well, so cut to a year later, 7th grade, I still think she's just so like gorgeous and stuff. And I forget how, but there was the opportunity. A friend of mine was like, yeah, she thinks you're cute.
What?
And I was like, what?
When you get that information.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it changes everything.
It's like you got $1 million when someone's like, hey, Bubba thinks you're cute. You're like, na, 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 na. You're like flying on something.
But to put things in perspective, as I guess is to say, like, I'm an anxious person now. I don't know how that's read, but I am an anxious person now. But back when I was a kid, up until my mid-20s, I was so anxious and in my head. So I did eventually ask her out. I forget how. And I don't even know if it was, it must have been just like, hey, do you want to be my girlfriend? And she's just like, yeah. And I'm like, okay.
What do we do now?
So what do we do now? We dated for a week.
Yeah.
We held hands. We did nothing else.
Of course.
We never even exchanged numbers because we were so, I was just so like.
You were like, I did it. I did what I had to do.
I truly had, and I want to get into this later because I was talking to someone about just dating culture for straight dudes and how fucked it is in so many ways, but from our own perspective. But that really was part of it. And once we were in it, I was like, I don't
know. What do we do?
We would sit next to each other at lunch. I would sit with her and her friends. And I would just kind of sit there.
Oh, no.
And so here's, I'll tell you the first cringiest thing of my dating life. This was the first. I had heard this joke from a friend of mine.
No.
And I thought it was so funny.
No.
And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to throw this out.
Not at the lunch table, I hope.
At the lunch table.
Oh, my God. That's your tight five right there. That's
you guys are going to see this coming from the first sentence, but mind you, we're in 7th grade. Okay, so this was perhaps revolutionary at the time. I'm sitting next to her and there's like a break in the conversation. And I just go, dude, the other month I was fishing with some friends of mine and it was crazy. We were sitting there for hours and nothing. And then suddenly I got a bite and I was like, oh my gosh. And nobody had any luck that day. And all of a sudden, I'm reeling it out. And this thing is, I can tell this is unbelievable. Everyone's freaking out. Like, it's tipping the boat. And I'm sitting there and I swear like a half hour goes by and I'm fighting this thing. And finally, I pull it out and I swear to God, this fish was this big. And then I put my arm around her. And then
shame.
Oh no, no. No, here's the thing. I didn't see it coming, and I wish it. I wish it never. Shane,
oh God, dude.
Please tell me that the friends were like, "What did they? What happened?"
I think they all laughed, but you know what else are you gonna do?
Some of them cried.
I think they all cried.
They all cried so hard. Yeah,
And then my arm was there, and then I had no clue what to do. What do I do now?
Yeah.
I've only thought about how to get to that point.
Such a common thing in dating, though. What do I do now?
Well,
there's no fucking playbook.
No.
And I'm going to repeat this several times throughout this, but for straight dudes, at least, because that's the perspective I'm speaking from, so much of it is just about, this is what I should be doing.
And who's telling
this
you
is
that?
What I, this is what, I mean, society, media, everything. Anytime I would Google anything, like, it was just, it's, you know, definitely then, I mean, it's probably worse now of just, it's pickup culture. And it's entirely about getting the girl, but we are never taught about how to actually
be in a relationship and make
there's
someone.
Nothing.
That is so
zero resources, zero men are trying to talk about that. It's all about, here's how you get the girl. here's how you ask her out and get on that date. It's like, okay, great. Once you're there.
I think there are.
This actually makes so much sense for like my past dating, because it's all the women are like, are you gonna do something? Like, what? But that you guys don't know. Well, I think we intuitively.
Well, and furthermore, a big issue for me, and I think it's the case for a lot of dudes, is that we are so focused on doing the impressive thing or the right thing that we're not actually forming any sort of real connection. Because I'm not actually there. Mm. I'm sitting there trying to play a board game in my head.
A board game is exactly
what it is. It's what it is. It's a game. It's a game. And we refer to it as game, and we talk about that, of that guy's got game. And so we're all trying to have game, but we're not actually forming real connections or
trying
actually being there with a person, because we're putting on a persona. We're doing moves, and so you don't actually feel any sort of joy. And
100%.
So most of my dating life, and especially that one, was just anxiety. There was no actual joy. I didn't have a good time.
Wow.
For that week, and then she just ended it one day, and I was like,
remember the fishing thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really fucked up. I was frankly relieved when it was done, because I was like, I don't know what this is. And I had no idea what to do. I realized, I was like, I don't know what the fuck a relationship is.
To be honest, that explains so much, because you guys present yourself like you know exactly what you're doing.
Oh.
Straight men present themselves like you know exactly what you're doing.
Clueless.
And then when it comes down to it, I'm talking about when I was younger, when it comes down to, or older, we're just like, hello?
Mm-hmm.
What?
No, that's everyone. That's everyone.
So what was your first?
My
crush
first,
or dating?
I had crushes that were all girls. I had a crush in second grade. I went and gave her a Valentine.
But, second grade.
Yeah, second,
baby.
Oh, it was second grade. You're right.
Yes.
But the first girl that I asked out was in middle school, and I was reading Harry Potter at the time.
Very cool.
And I went to a very white high school, super white high school, and there was this girl who reminded me of Cho Chang, and I loved her. And I was like, but I loved her because she reminded me of Cho Chang, and it was Harry Potter, and I wanted to be the main character, but she was also really cool.
You wanted to be Harry?
I wanted to be Harry.
Okay, got
it. Which I'm not Harry.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
You're more of a Slytherin,
and I do not ever want to. Anyway, we're going to move past that. And I don't want to be Harry. But I asked her out, and she was like, no. And so that was like, I was like, oh, fuck. Because I also felt othered. I also felt othered, and so I was like, maybe we can connect, because you're different, I'm different, and she was like, fuck no, and I was like, oh no.
Uh-huh.
But then I asked out this other girl, freshman year of high school, that was my second bout. I was like, let's do it. And I asked her to go as my date to a senior's birthday party. It was a disco-themed birthday party. And I, at this time, had a fro.
Hell yeah.
A huge fro. So I was like,
we've seen those photos of you in high school.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, I'm the guy. If you're going to a disco party,
I'm the guy.
She said yes to the disco party. And then at the disco party, I was like, do you want to be my girlfriend? And she was like, yes. And then word got out that I don't know how it got out so quickly.
Of course. She was telling her friends.
The next day, I show up at school. And everyone's like coming up to me, she's like, congratulations, like blah, blah, blah. Really weird, really weird. And then she comes up to me and she's like, hey, can we talk? And I was like, oh no.
And then she broke up with you right there.
Oh, she broke up with me the next day.
Dude, I had that sort of happen once.
It was like, she talked to her friends, she talked to
her friends.
It was her friends.
Do you think one of her friends maybe liked you? Was like, ooh.
Oh, Shane, I've never thought about that.
It's possible. I don't know these people.
I took it too personally, and you're not supposed to take things personally.
No, not when it's like that, because she barely knows you.
Yeah.
We knew each other.
Okay.
We were in the same friend group.
If anything, it could just be that this avalanche of everyone knowing about it, she maybe just was like scared. I'd be scared of that.
She's now married to someone who was in my small group. Yeah,
that's great.
Does he have a big afro?
No, he doesn't.
Could you imagine?
No, he doesn't. A bigger afro. I'm like, fuck, it's that guy. He has a bigger afro than me.
That's her type.
This is crazy, because just hearing about this, it answers so many things for when you're first starting to date. Because I feel like when you're first dating, you are so influenced by everybody.
Yeah.
You are so... I think still, but more so when you are in high school, middle school, because you're basically all in camp together.
Oh, yes.
And you're so influenced, and you're
and you
so
see each other every day.
Influenced by your friends.
Yeah.
Your friends.
Yeah.
Say what they want to say. Your friends will tell you to do things, and they don't always do it.
No.
Because they
you're right.
are like, oh, that person's not good for you. Sometimes it's because they have a crush on that person.
That's fucked yeah. up.
I didn't have, because I didn't go to a physical high school, but I had, I can relate in a lot of ways because being here amongst like a bunch of child actors, we kind of formed our own. Like I was hanging out with people my age all the time. It was a smaller group. And as I've mentioned before, the dynamics were weird because the popular kids or the cool kids were the ones who were on TV shows, which I think gives them a lot more basis for being
cool. My God.
Cool.
That's like really
you know, it's
cool.
like, so oh, it's like, well, up. Yeah, you're on a TV show and we're all trying to be actors. So you're also, you've achieved the thing we're all out here to do.
Oh, that's hard.
So the dynamics are really tough. It's like, dude, he's on Zoe 101. He's so cool.
That's
Logan.
Really hard.
There was, oh, the Zoe 101 crew, the Victorious crew.
Oh, my God.
No, that was, you had so much anxiety.
I think we can all
oh,
see.
Yeah.
Ours, the seniors were just like, they were really good at football. They were really good at hockey.
Ooh.
Really, that was our, like,
I mean,
top.
But we were, in your sphere, that's also like being on TV.
That's
it
true.
Was. It was the same
they
thing.
They were in newspapers.
We went to a super, it was a weird southern school. Where it was equal parts sporty and equal parts artsy.
Cool.
So like the
like
the
Divergent.
Really it was like Divergent. So
are you artsy or sporty?
Yeah, no,
you must choose.
Or are you smart and you can be multiple. And there were people that were multiple. Wait, they were on the football team. They were like,
he plays football, but he also likes to paint. He is Divergent.
Oh. Shane only sees things we realize in like TV shows.
I only,
movies.
I can't relate to real life. It has to be TV or
like
movie
that,
or I don't know.
I love that.
Okay, go on.
So you're Divergent.
I'm not. Oh, no, hold on.
You were art.
I was art.
Yes.
I was
art. Art.
I was art, but I was like the head. I was like the big guy. I was like the guy to do the art thing.
Nice.
But then there were people who would like cross over and they were so powerful. They felt like the avatars of our high school.
Oh, when they had crossover. If they're on,
you can be the running back and then you can come do the open mics and kill a song.
That's, those were
the
that's cool.
And
main
then
stars.
You're on student council? No.
That's
dude,
cool.
Dude, that's too powerful.
Those, see, ours were totally different. If you were on student council, we were like, okay.
Oh, no. We were achievers. Oh, no.
No, us, we were like Woods parties. Football.
Oh, no.
Like, you were just in Dazed and Confused.
We were literally in Dazed and Confused. And it was the person who was like the really mysterious person with the dirt bike.
Yeah.
We were like, oh my. Well, maybe it's just me. I was like, oh.
I fully.
My God.
Yo, I fully get that from you.
Do you get that from me?
Yeah.
Ours, I never wanted to date a football player. Mine was always like the dirt biker, the guy in the woods party.
Oh, shit.
The
you
big,
like the grungy.
The jeans that were shorts. Think about it. The long jeans.
You were
shorts.
You were into Fred Durst.
Oh my God. Give me that every day. Chain, a t-shirt.
Thinking about
that's so weird. I know Amanda's type.
Me and you talk about that. I'm like, who did I have crushes on in high school and middle school? And the people that I had crushes on, I don't think I knew that I had crushes on, or I was just lying to myself about even having crushes. Because I'm gay, so like the clock starts later.
So okay.
You have to come out to yourself before you come out to other
so
people.
So you are gay. So when did you start actually going after boys, men?
I mean, it was in college. Cause I went to school in Chicago, and it was such a different. It was such a different ecosystem of people as compared to Tennessee, where like in Tennessee it wasn't like shame, it wasn't like they were like, it was shame actually, it was shame, it was, but it wasn't a vocalized thing, it was like, oh, you can't do that, like a side eye, or like, oh, bless your heart,
societal,
but like it was a shush shame.
Yeah,
it wasn't like we're gonna like beat you up. Some people it was like we're gonna beat you up, but it was never like that because we're all about love and acceptance, but we're not really.
Yeah,
right.
And I go to Chicago, and then they're actually about love and acceptance, but with this hard exterior, and so it was a different ecosystem. So it was like, okay, now you're allowed to even though I was allowed to like boys there, still like stayed away from it for like 3 years in Chicago. 3 years.
So you were still kind of like having dating history with women.
Yes. I have girlfriends in college.
Oh.
What was that like? I'm just so curious.
Well, I was in the theater program. And so it was like, it's already slim.
You were just making out with everybody.
It's already slim. No, I wasn't.
Oh.
It was already slim pickings for women who want straight guys in the theater program. And I was one of the straight.
Impossible.
I was one of the straight guys. And so I was like one of the guys. And I felt like a king because I was like, well, you can't choose anyone else.
Musicals and everything. You were like, I'm going to date. And all the guys were like, hi, you want to? And you're like, nobody.
Like, I believe.
And they're like, he's straight.
You're like,
are you
hot.
Sure? No, he's straight.
No, 100% they did that shit. So I dated a couple people, but it didn't work. And I was doing all the right things, and I was so romantic. Oh my God, I was such a good boyfriend.
But were you were just kind of playing out a script.
Yes.
Yeah, so you weren't actually having you're probably okay. You might have been having fun, but not.
No, I was having fun, but I wasn't doing any of the things that I wanted to be doing. But I will say the first boy that I hooked up with, I won't say dated, but I will say hooked up with, was my crush. So I went to a play. I went to see The Wiz.
Oh, yeah.
My first week at Northwestern, and I saw a guy who was the Tin Man. And I was like, you are so cute, like so hot. Like I was like, that's my type. Even before I was out, I was like, that's my type. I was like, I know, you are the one.
The Tin Man was your sexual awakening.
So then, so then when he was graduating, he was a year above me, when he was graduating in that summer, he was like, do you want to come to a party I'm having? Blah, blah, blah. He was in the theater program. I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I came and he like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not me going into, I was in a frat.
Yeah
absolutely. For sure,
let's
dude.
Not forget, I was in a frat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hold on, just got to grease my joints really quick.
No.
So I went to this party with him, which also the frat we need to talk about too a little bit. Because that is like dating, but dating friendship, but not hooking up with people. Some people hook up, but.
Okay.
Some people hook, but it's like you're having all the parts of dating without.
That's what I love about dating. It depends on the ecosystem that you're
yes.
in.
Totally.
Changes all the way that
totally.
You date.
Totally.
But keep going. Yeah.
So I went to a party and he was like escorting me around and I was like, this is my coming out. I have not hooked up with a guy. I've never been with a guy ever.
And it was the Tin Man.
And he walked me around the party. He got me a couple drinks. And then he knew I wasn't out, but he was very much out. And so he was like, do you want to come sit by me on the couch? So I came and sat by him on the couch.
And he's like, eh.
No.
I'm just kidding.
He put his hand in the cushions of the couch because all my friends were around and I wasn't out. And he was like, Chance. And he like gestured to the couch. And I put my hand in and I got to hold his hand in the cushions of the couch.
That is actually so sweet. I'm surprised I haven't seen that.
That is very sweet.
And then like all my friends started leaving and it was his apartment because it was his party.
Oh,
he was like,
yes.
I was like, I need to probably leave soon. He was like, can I walk you out? And I was like, yeah, of course. And he comes and walks me out. I'm not out yet. I've never done anything. And he walks me to the stairwell and he's like, can I kiss you? And I was like, absolutely. This is my crush from when I was a freshman. I was like, oh my God. And so I kissed him. And he's like, do you want to come up to my room? And I was like, nah, too much. Slow down. Is that good for me?
I don't know.
Yeah.
See? Society.
I had such shame that I was like, I can't go to your room.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I understand. I understand why.
It was overwhelming.
I understand. That's so much.
It was so much already.
But also, Chance, good for you because I think you would have been like, whoa.
Yeah.
And you got time to like process
it.
Were you still in your head saying I'm straight?
No.
No, but you 100%. Knew internally, but you
like,
just hadn't
the moment.
You hadn't told anyone.
I hadn't told anyone. So then right after I walked away from his apartment, I'm like calling my friends. I'm like, me and Kyle just like hooked up. Like, well,
did you guys date?
No, we didn't date, but I did sleep with him the next week.
Good
nice.
For you.
It took a week. And he was like,
see?
You wanna come? I know.
In a way, it's like societal pressures are sometimes like, hey, don't shame me, but then sometimes they poke us enough where we can be like, actually, wait, let me take some time to process this.
And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because when you rush into something, then it's like when you do too many things in a day. You're like, I don't even know what my day was.
Right.
And I think we underestimate how much time we have.
Yes.
Like we can be patient.
Also, a kiss can last like days.
Yes.
Thinking about it.
Totally.
It's 100%. So fun.
A good kiss. A right kiss.
Yeah.
A bad kiss.
A bad kiss can also last days, but whoa, for the wrong reason. Or it can last a lifetime depending on what you got in that mouth.
Yeah. No. That's also, I feel like, very connected to worst dating stories. I feel like kissing is like 80% of a worst date.
80?
Holy
no.
shit.
As for soon me? As I sit down at the table or wherever we are, as soon as I walk in, I will see your aura, I will know your vibe, and I will know if it's a yes or a no.
Okay.
As soon as I walk
in. But then when you kiss them, if they're a terrible kisser, what happens then?
I think I'm such a good kisser that it doesn't matter.
They'd have to be horrendous.
They would have to be so bad. Like, I really can only think of a couple people who were bad at kissing. That's one, because bit too much. Two, because mouth too slobbery. But that's not on the skills, mouth too slobbery.
Okay.
You sound like you have really bad kisses, is what
no,
I'm saying.
Maybe you're a really bad kisser. Maybe
no,
that's,
and
maybe
no.
You're the operative.
Maybe it's you.
Incredible kisser.
Okay.
No, I've had a couple bad kisses for sure. And it has.
Wow. I think when I was a teenager, it was so few and far between. And once again, I was like, this is probably, I had no clue what
you
I was
were
doing.
Kissing girls?
Not
I was
much.
Like, I wasn't.
Not much. I had a couple.
I had like two, yeah.
Wait, so when was your first kiss?
13, Natalie Booth. Hi, Natalie. She would love that.
Okay.
Okay.
When was yours?
I think I was 14. It was Truth or Dare. So,
yes, mine was too.
Yeah, it was in front of everyone.
Mine was too at a bonfire.
And but I definitely look back and I'm like, yeah, I had no idea what I was doing. And I think it was, you know.
I don't know when my first kiss was.
Thank God for Truth or Dare.
It might have been Tuba Boy later, but
no!
I think it was
Tuba Boy.
10 years later, Tuba Boy shows up.
Tuba Boy.
My first kiss, I remember Tuba exactly Man. When it was. I was 12. I had braces on. And my boyfriend, we were like, do you want to date? Yes. Well, I didn't, what was a boyfriend when you were 12?
That's fair.
But we were boyfriend and girlfriend. We would hold hands. Everyone knew that we were dating. And it was in our friend's house. And they were peeking through the door. And they watched us kiss. And we both had braces. And that was my first kiss.
So what was your first relationship? That was your first relationship.
We dated for 4 years.
Whoa! That's a long time, Amanda.
And he gave me an engraved Tiffany's bracelet
That's
when
insane.
I was 14.
Holy
with our names
Yeah,
on
but
it.
The disposable Shit. Income of a 14-year-old
well,
is 100%.
His dad owned a car shop, and so he worked all the time. And I remember I would hide. It was the old school Tiffany's, the silver with the big like link chain, and it had a heart, and our names were engraved on it. And I had to hide it at dinner all the time. So I would have it underneath sweaters and I would hide it. And one time at dinner, and my mom did not like him because he rode a dirt bike and he would pick me up.
Of course, you're
from
tight.
The back of the house.
He's
and he would
have
pick
some
me
sort
up and
bike.
We would go dirt bike riding and my mom despised
That's hot.
Me.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Put me on the back of a motorcycle I've been on.
Dirt bike in the quarry. Do you know what a quarry is?
Yeah, I know what a quarry is.
So we would like be in the woods and do like these crazy things. And I remember I hit it and my mom saw it and I was in so much trouble.
For having a Tiffany's bracelet.
Yeah, and also for dating one guy for 4 years. She was like, don't you want to explore? I remember
oh,
she
shit.
Said that.
Wow.
She was like, don't you want, yeah,
I
my
love
mom,
that.
My mom was very supportive about dating. Remember, I had two older sisters ahead of
but
me.
But that's yeah. very Portuguese.
Very Portuguese.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at spinquest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
Jeez, dating was like living, yeah, like breathing. Exactly. Like it was like, my mom was very supportive. My dad was like,
yeah,
just shut the door. Like couldn't. But that was a big thing for me. That was like a big relationship for me. So, yeah.
Wow. I had no relationships. I like pseudo like 1 month or 2 month things where nothing really happened. And, you know, it was just more like, yeah,
we're talking.
But... and that really, I had like only one, and that was when I was like 14, 15. But then for the majority of my teenage years, I really hardly dated. I hardly
what about
had
your
any. 20s? Even then, I really struggled. I like didn't have a, I wasn't in a relationship until I was like 22, 23. So
you're
I was very
that like it's late, but I would like to reference the gay clock again.
Yeah.
Because that's when it, I mean, it starts most, a lot of people, now it's a little different, but a lot of people don't start till after they leave their parents' house.
Well, I know it's really, I know it's,
which is
it's
18, which is when you start even experimenting with having a crush.
Sure. I wasn't really, because I came out here and so my mom and I were in an apartment and I was like going to auditions and stuff. Mm-hmm. It really
you
wasn't
were working.
It wasn't. I had a career. Working, yeah. And so a big thing of why I think I was also anxious was that there were stakes where if I got in trouble, there was something huge that could be taken away.
Mm.
And they never threatened it and nothing ever really happened. But I knew like, oh, if I fuck up. We will move back to Arizona.
So, much
so I really did not get into trouble because I was like, I didn't get into trouble because I was like, I don't want to get into trouble. I didn't get into trouble because I was like, I don't want to lose this
of
whole
course.
Thing.
My whole
of
life.
Yeah.
I'm like, my career. Yeah. I'm going to be a big actor. I need to do
so much
this.
Pressure, Shane.
I'd put it on myself, but.
No.
not really.
I guess, But so I think that hindered a lot of my ability. I think back on if I had stayed in Arizona and just gone to high school and really had no stakes. If I was just like, I'm just going to high school and doing my thing.
There are still stakes.
There are so
There's
many
still stakes.
Stakes.
But I would have probably done a lot more stuff, right? But I didn't because I was very focused on my career. And I had acting coaches who were constantly saying stuff like, focus on your career. Like, do not do anything else. Like, don't put anything above that priority-wise. And I listened to that.
That's also the power that adults have. Careful the things you say.
Well, that is a...
That's again a societal thing.
I think we see so many child actors end up in bad places once they're older. And I think a big problem is that for child actors, the authority figures in your life are often telling you misguided things, or they're just
and
so
they're just
focused
trying
on
their
career.
Best.
They have great intentions for the most part, but there's a lot of
but
layers.
But also,
to that.
They
That's
probably had their teenage years.
They had
so grateful for my teenage years. I am so grateful that my mom was like, if you get brought home by the cops, that's on you, which has happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, I am so grateful that my mom was like, go get your heart broken a million times. Go love. Go party in the woods. And it's not like she said that, but that's what
happened.
But
yeah, I feel like as time progresses, Now your 20s are like your teenage years, weirdly.
I think things are different now.
Yeah. Things are very different now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to move on from teenage years because I think we're going to talk about that more next week.
Yeah.
But I think things are changing. And everything I read about nowadays is talking about how people are lonelier than they've ever been.
Yeah.
Dating is more like dead than it's ever been, especially speaking from my perspective. All I read about is how straight men are like, we're just not dating.
Because I think people need to find microcosms. They need to find their own ecosystems, and it's hard to find an ecosystem when you are accessible to everyone.
Is that because of, do you think online dating makes it way harder? Do you think online dating makes people feel more lonely?
As I had the apps for years, I got rid of the apps about almost 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I have had so much more success dating off of the apps. This is an anti-Tinder message, an anti-Hinge message. Mm-hmm. Because you start looking at people and the places that you are, like physically, or like the people that you know, and it is such a, it is so much better to meet people in person or through other people than it is on the apps, and the apps gets you in a mindset of like, yes, no, yes, no, no.
Right.
It's so much more complicated than that.
It's so messed up.
It is so much more complicated than that. And there are so many people who I see them in pictures, and then I see them in person, and I'm like, oh, no. No, 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 no. Even if I see them in videos, I'm like, yes. And then I see them, I start talking to them, I'm like, no, absolutely not.
Human connection.
There's people who I'm like, I see them in person and I'm like, yes. And then I see their Instagram and I'm like, whoa, yes. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's what you did that with that? Because I was already into it. And now I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
There's so much more nuance in person.
So and
there's
much
a lot
more.
Of, there's a lot of people who you see photos of. And the problem is a photo is a photo. It can really not capture a person.
And the other thing is TikTok too, because now I can see this person moving and talking and but it's still not the same.
It's not who they are.
So why do you think people? Why do you think people are lonelier than they've ever been?
I do think dating apps have. I think it's fucked up our own heads. And once again, I'm going to primarily speak for my perspective and people who I think share my perspective is that as a straight dude on dating apps, it is mostly getting nothing in return. And, you know, and I'm sure also a lot of guys who are in my realm of if you are shorter or if you are not as attractive or whatever. And on photos, when you're just boiling it down to two-dimensional, you're probably not going to get the same amount of responses. But I also think dating apps, you just don't get a lot of responses as a guy sometimes. And there's probably a lot of reasons to that, you know? And I just think it gets you in a bad mindset.
Yes.
The swiping, I'm like, this is messed up.
Yeah.
And it also gets you obsessed with dating in a way that I also think is unhealthy.
It's not healthy.
And I think we are more obsessed with it than ever of it being a kind of societal marker.
If you don't have it, then you're not successful.
You need to, it is a requirement.
Which is not true.
And it's so unnecessary. And it did make me want to just kind of rebuke it and not participate.
Yeah.
But I agree. Getting rid of it, I found I wouldn't say I had more success, but I just felt better.
Yeah.
I just absolutely felt better. Yeah. And I think it does make you more present in the world.
Mm-hmm.
My advice, because I see it constantly on the internet right now, of just dudes being like, it's hopeless. It's freaking hopeless. No women want me. I feel like nobody's interested, whatever. I think a big problem, and I've said this on Reddit stories, where I think a lot of straight dudes, what they really need is to have friends who are women, or just friends who are just not other straight dudes.
Yeah.
To get different perspectives, to understand, like, it helps so much. It kind of takes the weight off of dating, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
When you have a close friend who can offer you perspective, like honest perspective of like, why do you think that girl wasn't into me? Or why do you think that date went that way? And I've always had that. I've had friends who I could talk to, and having them as friends was always more impactful and more important than relationships. So I would say my advice to any guy who is like, I'm really struggling, I feel like I'll be single forever, focus on making friendships. Focus on friendships, and you will build your network out. that is how you actually end up meeting people. And that's how I've met people. And that's more than just meet people. That's how everything has worked out in my life.
I've always been, this is a crazy thing I'm going to say, I've always been lesbian adjacent.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm so
curious. I'll break that down.
Break it down.
So like at work in high school, I was like the lesbian in me were like always, I would always find the lesbian and I'd be like, we're friends. And she'd be like, hell yeah, thank God. Because, like, the rest of these people, like, there's something powerful about the perspective of, like, a guy, if I'm looking at the binary, a guy who likes not women and then a woman who likes not men. So, like, we'll tell each other exactly how it is, the way it is.
Yeah. I love that.
It's so powerful. It is the most freeing thing. Gay men, if you're listening, go find yourself a lesbian. Lesbian, if you're listening, go find a gay man. They will tell you exactly. That it's so powerful. Or you go find someone that's not.
That's so funny.
What you are.
I love that because I think connecting with an opposite of you is so important. Like
it is me, so powerful.
Like when we were talking about societal things back in the day, how friends have so much power over you. I really think trying to work, like I have a best friend who's a straight dude, not from this country. And I was like, I talked to him about everything. I'm not talking about my husband. I talked to him about everything when it comes to like females, men. And his advice is so like,
And you know what changes too is when you start going like cis and trans, it's like, go talk to someone else and see what they say. Cause they help you so much in your relationship.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so much of relationships is about balance. Mm-hmm. And it's about balancing out these forces. And when you're so stuck in your cis ways, you put these blinders on.
And you put ultimatums on.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like you put like, if this ever happens again, it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to search for someone who never
does
that to me
again. Yeah, that's not how it works.
Never. The word never can never work in a relationship ever. Like, it just can't. Like, ultimatums, and trust me, we try. In our, like, weak moments, we try to put on ultimatums because it's control. We don't want that to happen to us again.
Yeah.
But it's not possible. We're human beings.
Yeah.
And finding, having a friendship with another person from another perspective.
Yeah,
right.
Like you guys are saying, is so beneficial. I don't think I realized how beneficial it was until I heard both of you talk about this whole thing of like, oh, I didn't know what to do. It's like,
how did you find your person? Do you have, are you allowed to talk about that?
How did I find what, my person?
Yeah.
My husband?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I found him at karaoke.
No. No way.
I was singing Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars.
No way.
Yeah. And he asked me out and I was like, no.
He was a random. He was a random at a bar.
Random at a bar. He wrote down his number on a piece of paper.
Oh my God, the love of my life.
Really?
I met randomly at a bar and he came up to me, yeah.
And they came up to you and he went, you have the most beautiful voice. Here's my phone number. And I was like, no.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did because I was in a not good relationship with a friend.
Oh.
Oh,
So I couldn't see it. And then a month later, he was there. He asked me out again and I said yes. And
wait, you were dating a friend?
I was.
I have a notorious habit.
I wouldn't even say dating is the right word.
What? Yes, it's the, because the friendship. Oh, we've talked about this.
Oh,
That's
another little subtopic of dating, which is when you are hooking up with a friend.
Yes, because I over and over and over again, because what I want, I'll finish one thought before I move to the next. What I want, my ultimate goal, is to be in love with my best friend. I want to marry my best friend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want my partner. So it gets really confusing.
Because you seek out best friends.
And then I'm like, I want to date you now. And then we start hooking up, and then it gets really confusing because I'm like, I already had these feelings with you, and now the sexual chemistry is there. Damn, what the hell are we gonna do now?
I just don't think that it. I for me it didn't work.
Yeah.
Dating a best friend to continue that for me it didn't work. I had to meet someone out of my circle. Completely opposite.
Yeah.
But it might work for other people.
I think it works for some people. I think the majority of any relationship is friendship, right? That's 99%.
Yes.
And then romantic relationship is just, there's just a couple layers on top of that. But any any actual successful romantic relationship is built on a very strong friendship, I would argue.
But I understand you trying to seek, because I did the same thing of like dating your really, really good friends. For me, after time, I realized it didn't work.
Well, that's your motorcycle. That's what you're looking for. Yeah, that's what you want to find first.
But for me, you need to find someone that is like that you're really attracted to on a romantic level first.
But how do I separate romantic from sexual? Because
you don't need to.
I think that's different for every single person.
I think it's so different.
We've talked about this. Look at what's going on in West Hollywood. Look at the gays that I'm around. Everyone's fucking hot. So like, now what is romance?
I think romance is.
Maybe it's starting a relationship with someone as a friend first.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I know.
I think that's okay.
And this is a problem. Tales all the time. The friend zone. Like, straight people get in the friend zone, friend zoned all the time.
Sure. But I mean, if you have your network, going back to what I was saying, build out that network, and you have your like group of like, these are my trusted friends, and I care about these friendships, and these, mm-hmm. and a friendship can be forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is dating can sometimes jeopardize that.
That's
a tough thing.
Experienced.
But if you have your network of like, these are my friends, and then you can only have so many friends where it gets to a point where it's like, all right,
Shane,
I'm willing to
jeopardize this. Let me show you this. I'm going to open your mind a little bit.
Okay. I feel like,
So your network, imagine your network is hot ass gays who you also want to fuck.
Okay.
So that's my network. That's where we're starting.
Okay.
So now I'm asking them to find someone for me because they also want to fuck the guy they're finding for me.
Interesting.
Okay.
You understand?
I do, because I think that us three have completely what we're talking about. I don't think there's one theme here.
We are on completely different planets.
That's so crazy.
And I agree. I also think that like that is really fucking hard. To be like, let me find you this guy. Yeah. But I also
want to go to a different dimension where this same conversation is happening, but I'm going, it's just tough, dude. I know so many hot babes and they all want to have sex with me and I'm trying to find the love of my life, but all these babes just want to have sex with me.
All these women, man. All these women are like, let me find this hot guy for you. God, I want to fuck them.
Wow.
But to be honest.
No, Amanda's over here like, nobody wants to date me. I have nobody.
Yeah,
I'm short.
I've never dated anyone, I'm short. But I will say, when I have tried to do the best friend thing where you're like, oh my God, we've been best friends for years. And then you have that one night where you're like, hello?
Yeah.
And then you make out and then you're like, oh my God. And for me, it hasn't worked out because I've always wanted the friendship more. So when I met H, it started off romantic. And it built into a best friendship.
That's cool.
I think it can work in a lot of different ways.
I think it's always different.
But I think what ultimately though, the problem with love and romance is that everybody's definition of it is so different.
Yeah.
It's not the same for most people. So a lot of it is about finding someone who feels about it the same way as you. I think ultimately though, it's looking for that mutual respect. Like, you have that connection, you have all that stuff, but you also have the same form of respect for each other.
Yeah.
And that is the key, I think.
So these guys hooking up with, so the guy who's searching for someone and they just hook up with them, maybe the respect just isn't fucking there at the start.
Good fucking point.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
it's about respect.
If someone else is just being like, oh, okay, well, this guy told me that you have a crush on me, but I'm going to hook up with him. Like, whatever ecosystem you're in, respect is fucking number one.
Yeah.
Like, respect.
Yeah.
And I think I wish I could tell my younger self that if there is no respect there, if he is literally giving you all the signs that he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't want to be there, babe.
Right.
Move the fuck on.
Oh, yeah.
If it quacks and has flippers, it's a duck.
It's that lesson of also when someone tells you who they are, listen.
Duck boats.
If someone tells you they're a duck, they're a
duck.
If
someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Oh, 100%.
That's what I think. And I do think people can change. But in the early stages of dating.
You're right.
Respect.
I think people can change, but don't expect them to change in your relationship.
That's good.
I think that's kind of what I believe at this point is if you're in a relationship and they are letting you down or they're not working for you, you can try to communicate what you need.
Yeah.
But if you realize it's bigger than, if you're asking a person to change fundamentally who they are, you should just go.
I have a question. Do you, you don't have to answer it. You don't have to answer it. Do you have a one that got away? Not necessarily that, like, you're like, oh, if they were here right now, I would date them. But, like, you're like, oh, that could have worked and something happened where it didn't.
I don't.
Definitely.
Yeah?
You definitely do.
Mine, but mine's a little too, mine's like too sad.
Okay.
I don't have one that I'm like, she.
He died?
Yeah, he died.
Okay. Supportive
life. It was more like the one who got away and die. But the thing is, for me, the one who got away is hard because it's mixed up with my town. And I wanted to be here. So I experienced the one who got away big time because I needed to move out of that town. And he was never going to move out of that town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine is like old story, old as time story.
I have the one, my that got away. He went to the Marines. I went to L.A. at the same
time.
Wow.
There you go.
We couldn't.
I went to L.A. and he got so deep in the town.
Yeah. Now he's in also, Cape Town. I love Cape Town. It's my favorite city on earth.
Well, uh-oh.
Well. Am I going to Cape Town?
Hey, he's alive.
Hey, you're so right. he's just.
Can we get cocktails just, together?
Yeah, all right, we got Manhattans here. I don't necessarily have one that got away where I'm like, oh, man, that would have been great. It's it's more that I look back and I go, damn, I, and maybe this is just from experience and knowing who I am more and allowing myself to be who I am. Because like I said, so much of my, even into my 20s was so performative. So like, this is what dating should be. And this is what I'm saying what I should be saying. And I was trying so hard to impress the women I was on dates with. And I think also my...
But that is a thing. You have to do that. It is... It,
right, but it was so...
There wasn't a
it
connection
was, it was
there.
So, it was so overt that I was a robot. But also, I think also the issue was that I was also... I think in my head of like what I should be attracted to, because there's also a societal thing of, even though I'm straight, it's like, but this is the type of woman that is hot. And this is, and
I love that. I love people exploring types and being like, oh, what do I actually,
cause think? I never really had a type. And the more I think about it, I was just like, I don't think I was into what conventionally was being told to me. And I think that I really struggled with that. But
it's like the girl that you had, that everyone had a crush on, and we were like, what does she look like? And you're like,
I don't care. Like, but you know, if I hate to say it, but back when I was a teenager, I think I got over this pretty quickly. But you know, if people didn't talk about a girl like she was hot, I think I'd be like, is she hot? Oh, she isn't hot. So I shouldn't be into her.
Yeah.
And I look back and I think that's where I look back and I go, damn, I don't think that was the one. Like, I feel very confident that I don't think I missed out on anything life changing. But it's more that I look back and almost more so as just friendships of like, damn, I really, that was a, looking back, that was a really cool person.
Yeah.
And I think we probably could have, we could have had fun. But that's part of getting older. That's part
that
of,
is it
that's
too.
Part of, I mean, I don't think I really allowed myself to be who I was and be interested in what I'm interested in until I was like 25 or 26,
yeah. And it's so funny because the advice from older people are, it's always like, kiss the person, do the thing, make the mistake.
But
always that.
And you know,
the older people that I've been around, I don't think all older people are like that. I think older people are like, some older people are like very intense about like, don't make mistakes, don't get your heart broken.
Really?
Well, because we all speak from.
Not the people that I'm around.
But everyone speaks from.
Not the people I'm around either.
Everyone speaks from their own consequences, right?
You're right. Which is
why, because I go back and forth with that of if I could talk to my younger self, would I be like, dude, just go for it? But I also would be like, you know what, man? You did what you thought was best.
Yes.
And I can't, you know, I can't tell you. If you do something different, then you're also not living your truth.
Right.
That was my truth. My truth was, I had to get out of this mindset. I had to, and it did eventually lead to me going for something completely wrong for myself and going through the motions for too long until I was like, I'm miserable.
Yeah.
And then I had to have that moment. And yeah, it took 25 years, but it took 25 years and I got out of it. And so I don't know. I'm like, if I go back and change things, maybe that wouldn't be good.
Definitely not change things. But when you're in the present.
Yeah.
Your Jeff Probst always says, play Survivor like it's your second time playing.
I love Jeff Probst.
I love that this comes down to Jeff Probst.
It always does.
I love
it always
Survivor.
Does, Shane.
I love Survivor.
Me too.
So
the new
much.
Season starts this week. but he says, play Survivor like it's your second time playing because you'll play a much better game that way.
Yes.
Yeah. You're taking risks.
You're not taking,
you're like keeping things to yourself. You're playing it like it's a second time playing. So what if you dated like it was your second
time? I think
time
what that means
them.
For me is that if you have an instinct when you're dating, like an instinct that feels like you do it all the time, maybe try to see a different perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe go against I mean, I hate to say go against your instinct.
But be more cognizant.
But be like, huh, why do I have this instinct?
Yes!
Is this societal?
You're saying analyze.
Or is this...
Be analytical about your choices.
Just like, yeah, explore your choices.
I love that.
But of course, I couldn't tell my younger self that.
Yeah.
Because my younger self was like, everyone tells me not to be with this person. Hello!
Yeah.
Oh,
it's so funny because I think about all the dudes nowadays who are complaining. I'm just like, no, these women wouldn't be into me or whatever. And I'm like, the women they're often talking about are like the quote unquote unpopular girls. It's like the nerds in high school being like, the popular girl, she would never be into me. And I'm like, would you actually have fun dating her?
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
have nothing in common.
Exactly.
And I think that's what I'm talking about when I look back on my younger self. And I go, the girls that I was telling myself I should be into, if I actually dated them, would we have a good time? Or I just... You start to realize,
that's
like,
so
hey,
it. And
that's
especially with Instagram, like looking at people's
yes.
things. It's like, oh, I want to.
With the
I
hot guy
this.
Who's like this on Instagram.
Yeah, it's
maybe?
Like
we immediately like, adjust who we are to try to fit,
yeah,
and then we have a bad time. That's why I do think there's some truth of when people go, stop thinking about dating, stop, like, remove yourself, and then it'll work out. It's because, like I said, focus on making friendships. And yeah, one of those friendships might blossom into something else. But you're just focus on genuine connection with people. And also as a dude, you know, when you come across like your primary goal is to date or to sleep with someone, you are going to come off as a predator. You are. Like
yeah.
that's what's going to happen so much. But I just think you remove all of that because all of that's a lot of it's bullshit.
And that's why I think when people go, it'll happen when you least expect it. I hate hearing that because sometimes I'm like, oh, whatever.
I love your witch
but
voice.
I will say, thank you. I will say that when I met H, I literally had done everything to swear off dating. I saw a Reiki lady and she was like, you haven't met the one. And I was like, I'm done. I'm literally done. And then she went, okay, what do you really want in a relationship? This was actually in my vows. What do you really want in a relationship? And I was like, I really want someone to really want to be there with me. And I want them to be like a strong person mentally that
yeah.
I actually am into.
Yeah.
And she was like, great. Write that down on a piece of paper. Like, really write that down. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And I was like, this is so stupid. And I put it up and I looked at it every day. I was like, cool. Yeah. Okay.
Aww.
And I looked at it every day.
Wow.
And then a month later, I met H.
Wow.
And I didn't realize
okay,
that that was...
Reiki lady. Can you
literally,
me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that that was the thing. And then I realized, like, oh, my God. That is exactly who H is.
Yeah.
Is he really wanted to be there.
Okay.
And he really wanted to know who I was as a person.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was a huge, like, oh.
Moment.
Thing
yeah.
for me. And that was... That was totally in our vows. I was like, oh, I manifested you.
I do. It makes me think of something I do want to say, though, for people listening and watching is, you know, as we're talking about, like, what do you really want? I think something that I am loving that I'm seeing a lot nowadays is people realizing, like, oh, I don't know if I actually want to be in a relationship in my life.
Yes.
And I'm like, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
All the power to
better,
you.
I don't want kids. I'm like, yeah,
it's
you shouldn't
so
fucking
great.
Have kids. If
it's
you don't,
so great.
If you feel that, do not.
Because, yeah, you look, dude, frankly, like, you look at, a lot of like really older people who you can tell like they did not want
to
be.
They listened to society.
They did
they
what
fucking,
and back in yeah the 50s
they
had
fucked
no choice.
Around and they
but I think that's also I think that's part of it. Like someone saying, "Oh, I don't want to be in a relationship for the rest of my life. I want to do my own thing." That is your love life, and that is also you choosing yourself and choosing how love works for you. It
yeah.
works differently for every person, and I think that's great.
Being in a relationship does not make you a successful person.
It means nothing
it means
to
nothing.
Anyone else.
All I think you need to do is just continue to discover and explore who you are.
Yeah.
Like literally, like being in a fucking relationship doesn't make you a fucking
it truly is.
Are we going to go back?
We're back to Oprah.
We never left Oprah. There's an Oprah quote where she's talking about her husband or something, and she's like, he doesn't live in the same house as you. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, well, what is that about? And Oprah's like, I don't want someone in my house.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah, dude.
I'm Oprah.
But I totally get it. I want a separate room for
someone. I will say though, someone could probably live in Oprah's house and she'd never know it.
That's true.
A whole family.
Probably people do. There is a whole colony living in Sutter House. Oprah could colonize Mars, and you're hearing it here first. Easily.
That's what I feel like. I feel like you need to silence. Going back like full circle, like
there's no
society,
playbook.
You
there's
need to
actually
silence
no
what everyone is telling you you should do. Ugh. And that's why getting another friend who has a different perspective will make you go, oh, I never thought about that. I don't actually need to get married if I don't want to.
That's so cool. Funny. That I had a best friend who I started hooking up with and things got confusing. It's a tale as old as time. It's happened like 4 times to me. Anyways. And when we were talking about dating, like if we should or not, we had the conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, he kept saying things. And I was like, who told you that? Who told you that? Mm. He's like, we can't do, who said that we cannot do this? Who told, yeah. where are you reading these rules?
Yeah.
So because true. I didn't see them. I didn't prescribe to them. I didn't say yes to them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So where is this coming from?
Yeah.
And it was just a constant obstacle. There's no playbook.
We build these spheres. And I think it's, like I said, going back, I think it's really bad for straight dudes right now. And my advice for straight dudes, there's nothing wrong with getting advice from another straight dude, but there's so many dudes out there who all of their advice comes from straight dudes, and then they don't understand why they can't connect with women. It's like, because you're not actually listening to
and
any.
And you're not actually connecting with a woman. Talk to a woman about...
Yeah. And if there are any straight dudes trying to experiment...
Get out of here!
Oh, sorry. The mic. Me touching.
Leave the mic alone.
Damn, I wish we could keep talking forever.
Need a part two.
We can definitely do this. We can pick this back up.
I have
time.
A whole list of names.
Me
I didn't
too,
even get
me
to.
Too.
Next week, we're going to be talking about high school and middle school a little bit more.
Yeah.
Getting a little more in-depth than just the general
getting
whole
more
thing of it.
Of like stories and real things.
But Chance, this has been so great.
Chance, you're amazing.
You guys are amazing.
Literally, you guys gave me an aha moment during this, so thank you.
Which one was it?
Was like about how you guys were like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I kind of was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
The fish joke.
You never know what
the
you're doing.
The fish joke was not an aha moment. That was a wish never heard it here.
I will admit at the end of this that I did do the firework one.
Okay, and you guys made fun of me. You made fun of me.
Yeah.
And you'd done it too.
Really bad.
Well, thank you guys for watching. Hey, I hope you love yourself. You know, respect yourself and love yourself.
Correct.
You don't need to be in a relationship. And if you are, that's cool.
And if you don't love yourself... How the
hell is anyone else going to love you?
That's what RuPaul said.
Or Jeff Probst. Or Oprah, my holy trinity.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
What does Jeff Probst say when he lights out your thing?
The
tribe has spoken.
Yeah, the tribe has spoken.
The tribe has spoken.
You are the Lord of the Flies.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.